Coronavirus will force tens of millions to face the threat of more poverty, inequality, and disease. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. That warning is from a new report from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which warns the pandemic will push back the UN's sustainable development targets by more than two decades. In a BBC interview, which we're bringing to you as part of coverage we're calling Fast Track, the grand challenge of vaccinating the world against COVID-19, Bill Gates said this crisis will only end when a vaccine reaches all nations.
The people who live in extreme poverty wake up every day not knowing whether they'll get enough food to eat, and they have absolutely no security of any kind. So the pandemic has reduced food distribution, raised prices of food in immense, so you can't move around and seek out economic opportunities in the same way. And so it's a gigantic setback. That represents over 5 years of progress. First time that that number's gone up since it's been seriously measured. For some of the problems we have, like the vaccination coverage, we hope that within a year of bringing the pandemic to a close, that could be restored. That is, the workers, the supply chains, patients understanding that they should go get those vaccines. You know, we hope that can be resuscitated fairly quickly.
Trials to test an effective vaccine are well underway, as we know, but Gates said vaccine affordability is the piece of the distribution puzzle that's yet to fall into place.
Getting the money to buy the vaccine for the poor countries, that has not yet come together. These vaccines, the really safe and effective ones, are being invented by Western companies. Now, the good news is that many of those companies are willing to let the high-volume vaccine manufacturers, many of which are in India itself, take exactly their construct and in a factory make that vaccine. So three of the constructs, there's a plan, once they get approved, to ramp up manufacturing in India, and that will be available to the poor countries broadly once we have the financing.
Gates explained that a truly worldwide production effort would make distribution far easier.
If we can get one of the low-cost vaccines, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, or Novavax, if we can get one of those approved early next year, then we can make 2 billion doses for developing countries. And everybody should applaud that. It doesn't take away from the factories in the rich countries that will prioritize their needs, but it will mean that the disease doesn't just come back, because even the countries with few cases, Australia, South Korea, they keep seeing reinfections, and so they're having to maintain unnatural measures that prevent public gatherings or full economic activity until the world comes together and gets rid of this altogether.
That's Bill Gates speaking to the BBC there. Checking the numbers now, fast fashion retailer H&M is popping 13% this morning. The company said it expects to turn a profit in the third quarter. That's despite reporting a 19% drop in second quarter revenue. Meanwhile, on the economic data front, factory output in China was up 5.6% in August from a year ago. Retail activity increased for the first time since the pandemic hit. To Tokyo now, where Greg Kelly, a former executive and ally to ex-Nissan boss Carlos Ghosn, has pleaded not guilty to allegations of financial misconduct. The BBC's Andrew Wood has that story.
He has been charged, along with the company Nissan itself, with hiding details of how much money Mr. Ghosn was being paid. If you hide things like this, allegedly, you're basically deceiving shareholders. That's the basic allegation. Mr. Kelly says that he wasn't involved in a criminal conspiracy. However, Nissan, a representative of the company, has actually pleaded guilty to it. I mean, this trial has been a long time coming.
Andrew Wood reporting there. Labor markets all over the world have been under pressure since the coronavirus forced millions of people to stay home. Many countries implemented emergency measures to support workers, and nations including France, Germany, and Spain have extended those programs, in some cases, through next year. The UK has yet to extend its own furlough scheme, which it is set to conclude at the end of next month. But figures out today show the country's unemployment rate rose for the first time since the pandemic hit. The BBC's Will Bain explains how that could influence UK public policy.
Both economists and government ministers fear this could be the beginning of a period where unemployment in the UK begins to rise steadily. The official unemployment rate in these backward-looking figures from Britain's Office for National Statistics for July is now 4.1%. Still relatively low by historic standards, but there are two stark fears. One is the potential impact the easing of Britain's furlough scheme might have, which, unlike other European nations, is due to end in October. This is Francis O'Grady, the leader of Britain's trade union umbrella body, the TUC.
On Thursday, that's the day that employers by law have to give notice if they're intending to make mass redundancies. So certainly I'm concerned that that's going to be another trigger for the sorts of figures we've heard of today.
Michael Coombs is just one of those names behind today's statistics. Furloughed from his job as a fashion buyer for a large retail chain in March, he was made redundant in July and has struggled to find work since.
In 3 months, I've had one interview. This is the first time I've ever been without a job. You remain optimistic, but it gets tough. It gets really hard.
And young people have been disproportionately hit. Whilst not always helpful in such a strange year, the year-on-year unemployment comparison is striking. 76,000 more 16 to 24-year-olds in the UK are out of work now than they were in July last year. It all means there's likely to be increasing pressure on the government to follow European neighbours and extend its furlough scheme support beyond the autumn. In London, I'm the BBC's Will Bain for Marketplace.
And also here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.